Greg and team, thank you so very, very much for leading us so well. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you and welcome to our first service today here at First Colony. And to our guests, a very special welcome to you. I'm thankful that you're here today as well. I'd like to begin a new message series today. I'm calling Here and Now, here spelled H-E-A-R, as we'll be taking a look over the next several weeks at some of the very extreme, almost outrageous sounding statements from Jesus, because Jesus was at times a master at hyperbole, intentionally and deliberately using overstatement and exaggerations to cause you to think, to startle you, to force you to examine yourself and examine your own heart. And sometimes it's easy to read some of these extreme statements from Jesus and ask, hey, does he really mean this? And so that's what we'll be doing over the next several weeks. And I think you'll be helped and blessed and nurtured and encouraged by some of these words from Jesus, who cares for you and loves you so very, very much. Let's pray for a moment, please. Lord God, I ask that you'll touch every heart in this room. Encourage every person in just the way they need to be encouraged as they walk with you. Open our hearts, open our readiness to receive from your word. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I start today by just making a few comments about addictions. So most of us here are familiar with addictions and addictive behaviors. And if we're not careful, I think it's easy to sort of place all people in just one of two extreme categories. I'm either an addict or a non-addict. I'd like for you to think differently about that. Just imagine, if you will, a continuum, a long line. And at one end, you've got number one. At the other end, you've got a number 10, but you have a line. All of us are on this line at some point. Some of you may be close to a one. You may be close to extremely, you're just extremely healthy living. Another person may be close to a 10, which is a life that's just way out of control. But most of us are somewhere on this continuum, and some of us may be making some choices that are in the danger zone. And we may be underestimating the impact of some of our choices on ourselves and on the people that we care about so very, very much. What is an addiction? In simplest terms, an addiction occurs when something has gained mastery over you and you can no longer not do it, whatever it is. You can no longer not do it. It is something that has gained mastery over you and you have lost the freedom to be fully you. Because real freedom is not an external freedom to do whatever my physical appetites desire. Real freedom is an internal freedom not to be enslaved by those appetites and to be truly who I'm created to be. And that's a good, good place to be. That's a good, wonderful freedom. And that's the Lord's will for you. Now, addiction can at times be to a substance. We're very familiar with that. To drugs, to alcohol, to some sort of a substance. But it doesn't have to be, because people self-medicate the pain in their lives through a number of avenues. Through food, or a lack thereof. Through illicit sex. Through illicit emotional relationships that may not involve sexual behavior at all, but they are illicit emotional relationships. Through spending, shopping, exercise, power. There are a myriad ways to cope with the pain of life and through life's and with life's deficiencies. But when we are addicted, we are self-medicating in some way the pain and the frustration of life. Well, first of all, let me put something up here on the screen, and that is, what causes a life to spiral out of control? First of all, everybody in this room wants love. You want it and I want it. And our need for interpersonal connection is so strong that we will try to find that somewhere. And if the marriage is frustrating or if difficulties with children are there, we'll seek to find it somewhere. That will be the tendency. That will be the temptation. Secondly, we all want a sense of power. We want to have things in our control, and when life gets out of control or beyond my control, that can be extremely frustrating. Thirdly, we all want acceptance and a place to be authentic. But for some, the driving force is image. Image is everything. And the driving force of so many addictions is a sense of perfectionism. That's what drives many eating disorders. That's what drives many people to chronic procrastination. Nothing can ever be good enough, and so I never quite get started. Dr. Henry Cloud, who's a well-known author, was leading a group of people one time who were trying to deal with this out-of-control perfectionism. And he had a group meeting, and the group meeting was scheduled shortly before he was to give a major speech in a very fancy setting. And he did something with that group that I thought was interesting. He took a latte that he was drinking, and he reminded them, he said, "Now, gang, I do not have time to change shirts, but I want you to watch something." He took the latte and he poured it down the front of his white shirt. He said, "I do not have another shirt. I do not have time to change. And I'm going to give this speech tonight with my white shirt covered with the stain of this latte. You think about that the next time you never get started. You think about that the next time your sense of perfectionism is driving you and other people to unrealistic behaviors." One person in that group told him years later, said, "The thought of just how stupid you looked that night has helped me on many occasions." But we all want love. We all want a sense of power. We'd like to have things under our control. We all want acceptance and a place to be authentic. And we all want to be a contributor. We all want a place where we can use our strengths and our gifts and contribute to things. But if when you were younger, nobody poured life into your talents, or if when you were younger, people kept telling you, "You're stupid," or if when you were younger, you kept trying to do things you're not gifted to do instead of doing those things you are gifted to do, your desire to be a contributor gets frustrated. Now, here's the reality. The reality is we all want love. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be a contributor. But get this, our world is broken and life is broken. And I've got all of these holes in my soul because I'm never loved the way I want to be loved. I never get to contribute the way I ideally want to contribute. I never have things perfectly under my control. There are so many things out of my control, so many things beyond my control. And so I have these wounds in my soul, holes in my soul. How will I deal with them? Will I turn to God? Will I turn to the church? Or will I go low? Will I seek to deal with the holes in my soul in self-destructive ways? Where are you right now? Where are the people you care about right now? And so we turn now to the words of Jesus that sound extreme. I'd like for you to listen to them this morning with fresh ears, please. From Mark chapter 9, beginning verse 43, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off." Now that's got to hurt, don't you think? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And somebody says, "Hey, does Jesus really mean this?" Oh no, he doesn't really mean this. Let's just keep reading because Jesus doesn't really mean this. I submit to you that no, he does not mean you should practice self-mutilation. He does mean, though, that you should practice something much more difficult and much more painful, but much more rewarding. Self-discipline. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better. And he'll use that phrase three times here over the next few verses. It is better. In other words, life's full of choices. And there are some, and every choice has implications and consequences. And it is better for you to cut off that whatever it is. Cut off your hand. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell. Again, Jesus is a master of hyperbole, using intentional and deliberate exaggerations and overstatements to make you think and examine your heart. And here Jesus is both the great physician and the great surgeon who helps us to cut away anything that would get in the way of our service to Jesus or our joy in the Lord and our productivity for Him. And here's the way I would summarize these extreme words from Jesus. Are ready? Let's put it up on the screen. Every person faces a choice between self-discipline or self-destruction. You face that choice and I do too. And cutting off my, that's got to hurt. Cutting off my, man, that's got to hurt. Plucking out the, that's got to hurt. The title of this sermon is The Pain of Change. Change hurts. Even needed change that would help me or help my marriage or help my relationships. It hurts because it requires a whole new approach to life. And I'm used to doing things a certain way. I'm not sure I want to cut off my hand. I'm not sure I want to change my attitude or change my speech or da-da-da. I'm not sure I want to cut off my... I'm not sure I want to pluck out that eye. But here's the good news. God will help you if you want Him to. I will say that again. God will help you. This is not a call to self-discipline in the purely self-empowered approach. To the contrary, God will help you if you want Him to, and I'd like to show you a story that will illustrate God's desire to help. It's found over in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and it's one of those sign miracles where Jesus did several miracles that are physical miracles designed to illustrate spiritual truths and realities. And here's one from John, chapter 5, that I think is fascinating. And this miracle will illustrate that God will help us if we want Him, if we want Him to, if we ask Him to. All right, John 5, starting verse 2. There is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. 38. Is there anybody in this room that's 38 years old? Mm-hmm. Glenn Nichols is 38 years old. Mm-hmm. 38 years is a long time. And this guy has been an invalid here for 38 years. Now, everybody in this room has a disability. a spiritual disability. Everybody in this room has a point of spiritual paralysis. There's more going on with you than what meets the eye. May I ask you this morning, what is it? What's keeping you from hearing Jesus afresh? What's keeping you from taking your next step with the Lord? What's keeping you from being more effective for Christ? Some of you have been believers for 30 and 40 years, and the book of Hebrews, you know, said to some people, it said, by the time you ought to be a teacher, by the time you ought to be influencing others, you need people to come along and burp you all the time. What's keeping you from growing up? What is it? This guy's had a spiritual disability, a physical disability, for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, verse 6, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Look at that last question there again. Do you want to get well? Is that a cruel question? Is that a dumb question? Or is it a provocative question designed to force this man to examine his own heart? Occasionally I'll have people come up to me and say, oh, can you help so-and-so? He doesn't want it. She doesn't want it. Do you want to get well? Do I want to get well? And I'm sure this guy's going, well, sure, I'd love to run and jump and skip and hop and just do what everybody else does. But listen, Jesus asked this question because he fully understands the dynamic of a long-term spiritual disability. There are some people who are so accustomed to negativity, to mediocrity, they wouldn't know any other approach to life. They don't know any other way to handle it. There are some people who, they actually do not want to get well. And there are others here, maybe some in this room, something can keep you down for so long, you feel like you can't get up. Something can keep you chained for so long, you feel hopeless. And you start to think you'll never know another kind of life, never know another approach to living. And for some people, the pain of change is just too much. Listen, I've learned to get my way speaking the way I speak. I'm not sure I want to change. I've learned to manipulate situations through my volatile temper. I'm not sure I really want to change. Jesus says to this man, do you really want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, verse 7, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. See, he's excusing himself. He's pointing at other people, excusing by accusing. Well, I would, but nobody helps me, and others get there first. And listen, Jesus, the Son of God, is standing right there in front of the man, and Jesus doesn't ask him, are you able to get well? He says, do you want to get well? Because if you want to get well, do you know who's standing right here beside you? Who's standing right here in front of you? I have the power and I have the desire and the willingness to help. And if you want it, I'll meet you. I'll touch you. And then Jesus said to him, verse 8, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. And here's the way I would summarize that story from John chapter 5. When your desire exceeds your fondness for your spiritual disability, God meets you and helps you. We are saved by grace, but we grow in Christ when our desire to do so exceeds our fondness for our spiritual disability. And at that point, God meets you and he helps you. Remember that statement? Where the Bible says that we walk by faith, Simple little principle. I meet a lot of believers who don't get it. They think the Bible teaches that we sit by faith. You know, I sit by faith and I just sort of wait for God to just magically open everything. And then once he kind of gets it open, then I'll step out there. That's not what he says. The Bible says we walk by faith. We take some steps in God's direction and we fully anticipate as we do so, we fully anticipate the activity of God, that he will show up, that he will meet us, and that he will help us. And so I ask you then this morning, what are some practical next steps that maybe you need to take to deal with a point of spiritual paralysis, a point of spiritual disability, a point of spiritual resistance? What are some practical steps? Let me throw out three or four. Here's the first one. Just admit it. Admit that in our own strength and energy, I'm not going to say we're powerless, because that's not true. But we are limited. I'm just limited what I can do in my own energy. I can go so far, but that's all. And so secondly, then, reach out. For some of you, you may need to reach out to a recovery group, like our wonderful Celebrate Recovery ministry that meets here at the church building every Friday night. For some of you, you just need to reach out to a friend, to a brother, sister in Christ, ask for their advice, ask for their input, ask for their support and encouragement, ask for their prayers. For some of us, for all of us, reach up. Because the message of the gospel is not, listen, the message of the gospel is not, God's good, you're bad, try harder. The message of the gospel is, well, Jesus said it like this, that he did not come into the world to condemn the world. You got that? He did not come into the world to condemn the world. But he came to seek and to save, to redeem and to heal that which is lost, that which is broken beyond repair. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants to invite us to come home, to come to him, and to live under his umbrella and under his tutelage. Yes, he wants us to go to heaven, and he wants the kingdom of heaven to come into our lives now. And fourth, start chipping away. Start chipping away now. Start breaking free little by little, rather than remaining in chains for the rest of your life. Here's what I mean by start chipping away now. There's some things you just can't fix by noon tomorrow. If your marriage is on the rocks, you're not going to be ready to teach a Bible class on marriage next month. But there is something you can do today to start chipping away. If your spending has been way out of control, you're not going to be debt-free next week. But you can get on a budget. Now, it's painful. It's like cutting off a hand, cutting off a foot, and the pain of change for some folks too much. And you can start paying off one of those cards. You can start chipping away. I cannot offer for many, and the Lord does not offer magical, instantaneous cures for a lot of things. But here is the reality. The power of Christ is here to set you free and make you new. His forgiveness is instantaneous and complete. And the power to make you new is here, but that change process is often painful. And you got to be willing to say, I want it. I want to get well. I'm willing to cut off a hand, pluck out an eye. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means that no matter what I have to crawl through, no matter what I need to endure, no matter who laughs at me, no matter who knows the truth about my situation, no matter who second guesses it, no matter how many times I have to try, But the power of God is real to help, and it begins with your desire today. The good news is God is for you. God is on your side, and He will help. But sometimes that change is painful. But it's worth it. Do you need to start chipping away today? Do you need to come to Christ today? To act on your faith and today, for the first time in your life, surrender? Today, to be baptized into His name? If so, then this morning, I hope you'll not leave this room by taking action. I hope you'll not leave this church building today. If there's somebody you need to go up to and say, listen, here, I need you to pray with me about something. I need somebody to know about what's going on in my life. And there's just so much I can do on my own. And I want you to partner with me in prayer. God will meet you. He is on your side and He will help. My friends, let's stand, please, for our closing prayer and then our closing song. You know, earlier in the service, we sang a beautiful old song that's over 100 years old. Have Your Own Way, Lord. Or I think the older version originally written, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. My favorite phrase in that song is that line that says, hold o'er my being absolute sway. I hope when you were singing that song earlier that prayer sentiment bathed your heart. And I hope it was the expression of your heart. If so, God is smiling. And as that is the expression of your heart, you will be blessed in unimaginable ways. Oh God, hold o'er my being. My future under You. My resources, under You. My life, under You. You hold o'er my being absolute sway. What a prayer. What a spirit. What a blessing comes forth. My friends, let's pray and then we'll sing. Thank You, God, that You are the healer of our souls. You're our Savior. And Lord, I pray that that You, the great healer and the great counselor, will now, even now, in this moment, be at work in this room, moving past whatever wall, whatever defense we have. Lord, I pray that You will heal the deep places of woundedness, hurt, guilt, shame, rebellion that may be inside our souls. Until we get to heaven, we're all going to have little points of spiritual disabilities. Points that need to be addressed so we can keep being more and more fruitful and effective for You. Lord, I pray for the healing power of Your Spirit to be released this morning. Lord, You know the truth about every heart, every life, every story in this room. You know what it's like for some people to feel like losers. But would You heal and forgive as only You can. Because we know that our hearts will be restless until we find rest in You. And in this broken world with holes in our souls, we turn to You. We cast our care upon You. All the things that are beyond our control, we would love for them to be different, but they're just not. We give it all to You. And we walk with You in joy this day. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.